Welcome to the Saturday Morning Tooncast on the Heroes Podcast Network with your host Jeremy Munkin.
And Danielle Yeager.
This is the show where we take a trip down Cartoon Lane and watch some animated faves from when we were kids.
All over a bowl of kids' cereal, which we will discuss after we watch the cartoons.
All right, so well, I didn't have much of a preamble for this one, but you had some extended stuff before yours, but I'm going first, so I don't know.
No, mine doesn't have to do with... I just made
yours
some
is just
trivia.
Generic trivia?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, okay, sounds good.
I am kind of obsessed with making trivia. I find it really fun. I do Simpsons Night a lot, and we'll make Simpsons trivia.
We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, I need to do it. So, I knew Jeremy didn't mention any news or anything, so I thought I'd make some trivia and test his knowledge, since he's definitely the more knowledgeable of the two of us over cartoons and voice acting and kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Until I make an ass of myself right now.
I didn't say you're an expert. I said you're the more knowledgeable of the two of us.
That's fair. I've been going back and looking at some of the stuff that we both asserted as factual information across various episodes.
Fact-checked us and we're wrong.
A lot of it's been wrong, so... if anyone's hanging in and listen to these, we're not always right.
Yeah, just you know, tell us, correct us in the in our Amazon. What am I saying? In our iTunes review.
Yeah, leave us a harsh criticism and fact check us
with a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have the trivia here, but you can't look at it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I need to look in the direction.
Yeah, just close your eyes.
Oh, I'm great.
Okay. All right, you can open your eyes.
Okay.
I fixed it. Okay. I just have 3 trivia questions for you. That's
okay.
It.
Okay, so we won't be able to kill too much time.
The first one is, which is not a Hanna-Barbera cartoon?
This should be easy.
Johnny Quest.
Uh-huh.
Josie and the Pussycats.
Uh-huh.
DuckTales.
Uh-huh.
The Smurfs. Johnny Bravo.
Johnny Bravo is cartoon, so that's still under... Wait, what was the question? Is it a Hanna-Barbera?
Which is not a Hanna-Barbera.
Well, I know DuckTales isn't because it's Disney. Was there only one that isn't?
Yeah.
Oh, then that one.
Okay, that was too easy.
I didn't know Snorks was. That's interesting.
But Smurfs, you mean?
Oh, Smurfs, yeah. Smurfs and Snorks are both Hanna-Barbera.
Okay, question 2. What decade was C-Lab 2020?
The original one.
Yeah.
I want to say 1970s.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Do you know the exact year?
No.
72.
72? Okay.
All right. Which of these voices does Nancy Cartwright not do?
Okay.
Ralph Wiggum, Chucky Fenster, Pete from Goof Troop, Bright Eyes from Pound Puppies, Posey from My Little Ponies.
So Nancy Cartwright does 4 of those?
Mm-hmm. And I assume you knew where Ralph Wiggum and Chucky Fenster are from. That's why I didn't specify. But that would be
right.
Simpsons and Rugrats.
Yeah. I mean, she's not Chucky Fenster. I know that because we just looked that up the other day.
No, she is Chucky
She
Fenster.
Is Chucky Fenster. Mm-hmm. Nancy Cartwright is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's the one that we got mixed up. Huh. Okay. Well, I mean, I already got it wrong. I can't think of what Bright Eyes sounds like off the top of my head, so I don't know that one. What were the other ones?
Ralph Wiggum, Pete from Goof Troop, Bright Eyes, like you just said, Posey from My Little Ponies.
Pete's the older guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the guy that did Winnie the Pooh in the last episode.
Okay. So that's correct. She does not do Pete. She does Pistol Pete.
Oh, Pistol
Pete. The little girl with the big red pigtails from Goof Troop.
Oh, his little sister?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She is the voice of Pistol Pete, but not Pete.
Damn, I should have thought that. I knew that was, now I can't think of his name. Who's the guy that does Winnie the Pooh? That's Jim Cummings? Is that right? Yeah, Jim Cummings.
I want to double check. Yes.
Yeah, Jim Cummings. Silly old Pooh Bear.
So, yeah, those were my questions. Was that fun? Should I do this more often, or was that...
I don't know, a trivia where it's just you versus me. I feel like when I hear trivia or games of that sort on other podcasts, it's like multiple opponents and I don't know.
I mean, you can always make trivia for me back.
Yeah. I mean, so trivia as a game is usually more than one opponent. When it's when it's just you asking me questions, it's just a quiz.
Okay.
It's
we'll
just a
call
cartoon
it a quiz.
Quiz. Our new segment, Cartoon Quiz.
How many did you get right? Tell us that in your iTunes review.
You're really asking for some lengthy iTunes reviews.
I'm used to being on YouTube and Twitch. I'm used to interaction. It feels weird to not ask somebody to talk.
Do you have a lot of interaction when you do that? Like, are there a lot of people that are shouting back at you?
Oh, yeah. On Twitch, I get... One time I got someone keep asking me to... They kept asking if they could see my feet, which was weird. But usually they talk to me about the game.
Of course they want to see your feet.
I got nice feet. What can I say?
Well, they didn't know that.
They knew.
I don't think they cared if your feet were nice or not. They just wanted to see some feet.
Oh, they knew. So, what cereal did you bring for us today? I see these little tiny boxes here.
Can you not read them? It's pretty obvious. They're not hidden at all. So this week I decided to go a little bit different. We've been doing the standard box of... Yeah, go ahead and make some noise while I'm talking. I can't edit that out. We've been doing the big boxes of cereal and just pouring bowls like, you know, like you do with cereal. But I got the single-sized classic Kellogg's boxes of cereal.
Oh, yeah. You told me that you can make these into bowls, which I never knew.
So we're doing Fruit Loops this week. And if you hit the light just right, you can see that there's a big perforated, like, capital letter I on one side of it. So you cut down through that and peel out the little, you know, wax paper bag on the inside. And then you just pour the milk right into it and eat out of there.
How does... This side has a perforated side, too. Does this do anything?
That's just to pour it into a bowl.
Okay. All right, so we're going to have Fruit Loops. This is definitely one I feel like I had as a kid and is generally good. But I have exciting news for you.
What?
I'm wearing Fruit Loop underwear right now.
Really?
Yeah. Non-sponsored, but MeUndies has their, like, different designs.
And they're branded Fruit Loops?
No, but it is Fruit Loops.
Oh, yeah, those are definitely Fruit Loops. She is showing me her underwear right now.
I mean, Fruit Loop underwear.
Erica, you can come look, too.
I mean, I just pulled it from my pants up.
Yeah.
Didn't pull my pants down, just to clarify. But when I bought them, I thought they were donuts, and I got them, and they were clearly Fruit Loops, so I'm excited that I'm wearing my Fruit Loop underwear while...
You just take a Sharpie and add sprinkles, and then it would be donut underwear.
True. But I'm excited that my underwear and cereal matched up today.
Yeah, that's a weird kismet that we're eating your underwear cereal.
So is this one of, like, your faves, or what made you pick Fruit Loops?
I just bought one of those multi-packs of Kellogg's Kids cereals, just, they were on sale, and I didn't really have anything particularly on my mind, so I figured if we just had some small to-go boxes, it would be a nice backup.
That's true, because I have a big box of Boo Berry and Captain Crunch on top of my fridge now.
And these are small enough, and we're recording in the evening, so this isn't a proper breakfast meal for either of us, so it's a nice little dessert-sized snack.
Yeah.
Also, you know, in case we ever need to do this and one of us forgets, we've got...
some backup?
Yes, a box of Frosted Flakes and a box of Corn Pops each. So we can turn to those in the future.
Not as appetizing sounding as Fruit Loops, I must say.
Pick the right one, I guess.
Oh, what cartoon did you pick?
So this episode is going up on Saturday the 21st, I believe. Is that a Saturday? Look at your calendar. No, the 17th. Or no, yeah.
18th.
18th. That's, yeah.
So not this Saturday, but next Saturday for us recording.
So this episode is going up on Saturday the 18th, which is the last episode going up before Thanksgiving. Quick editing note, we actually are playing episodes 5 and 6 in the reverse order, so whatever I just said is not true. So as I said last week, I wanted to do a Thanksgiving-themed episode for this one, so I picked an episode of Garfield and Friends.
Oh, I watched that as a kid.
Yeah. Which is a great show. I definitely grew up on that. That ran from 1988 to 1994 with reruns going through probably mid to late 90s. And it was on just constantly. Like it was one that I've seen every episode probably multiple times. They were half-hour episodes. It was produced by Jim Davis, who created and continues to make the the newspaper comic.
Uh-huh.
In fact, he just did a bit in the most recent issue of Squirrel Girl for the Marvel comic book, where he drew a few panels in the style of his own style. I just can't talk. He did a few panels of Galactus, the Devourer of Worlds, but he did it as if Galactus was Garfield. So he was like, you know, hated Mondays and ate the planet.
Have you looked at the, like, Garfield what's it called?
Oh, yeah, Garfield minus Garfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of the two modifications of Saturday, or just newspaper comic strips that I love, because there's also Three Nuts. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
That's Peanuts strips with the last panel cut off.
Oh, nice.
So it's like, it's existentially just depressing, because it's always like...
Does it go anywhere?
Right. It's like, you know, Snoopy falling off his house or Charlie falling down, but there's
You're
never
just left
that,
with that.
Yeah, there's never that cathartic comeback at the end. But yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, Garfield minus Garfield is Garfield strips that include Jim, but Garfield is just photoshopped out of it. So Jim is just reacting to nothing.
Yeah,
it's
just
like an empty
table.
Seems like
he has schizophrenia.
Yeah,
or
he looks like he's
having
insane.
A breakdown or something.
So a little bit more about Garfield and Friends. It's a film Roman. It was on CBS, though the repeats I think were on Cartoon Network. Because I don't think I watched most of them on CBS. They might have been on Nickelodeon. I forget which one it landed
so
on.
So I'm going to guess it was on Cartoon Network, because any shows that I watched, like, younger than age 10, I they were pretty much at my friend's house who had Cartoon Network, and I didn't. And so I remember watching this at her house. So I'm just guessing it was on Cartoon Network because of that. Because I don't remember watching it at my house, and I feel like had Nickelodeon.
This would have been early 90s. So it might have been, because Cartoon Network didn't really become a thing.
Yeah, until... I might have been seeing it on rerun.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was originally on CBS on Saturday mornings, and then they would play it in one of those after-school blocks, and I think it was on Fox, because Fox had the right to the DVDs.
Okay.
But there were a total of 121 episodes altogether, so it was a very long-running show, and they've since made another one where it's like CG that I think is currently running. I've tried to dip into a couple of those, but they did not look good.
What I remember about this cartoon is that it really doesn't have much to do with Garfield. It's like mostly about the friends. That's my memory of it. Like the little egg guy with the feet.
Oh, that's U.S. Acres. So they were, it was a mixture of shorts. They would usually do a Garfield short and then a U.S. Acres short and then a Garfield short.
Okay. So I remember the middle one the most for some reason.
Yeah. It was definitely a bit more of a cohesive, it was better fit for the setting of a cartoon. Whereas Garfield was kind of a one note character that was great for the comic strip. U.S.
Gotcha.
Acres had a cast. It had, let's see here. I mean, so the normal Garfield cast has Garfield, John Arbuckle, Odie, and occasionally Nermal.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally Binky the Clown, which is like a few episodes.
So it goes, so in a 30-minute episode, it has three shorts in it, basically?
Right. So it's like an 8-minute short or commercials, then another 8-minute short commercials, then another 8-minute short.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
But yeah, so there in the U.S. Acres, that was Orson, who was the pig, Roy, the rooster,
There's
Wade,
a little egg, right?
Yeah, there's a little chick and then a little egg, and the egg is Sheldon, and
yes.
Then Booker is the chick.
I don't know why, but Sheldon is the most memorable character for me.
Yeah, and this, I haven't watched the full thing yet, but I believe the Thanksgiving special is entirely focused on Garfield. So you might
bummer.
Be a little bit let down here that it's entirely focused on Garfield. And I think there's a subplot of trying to get Jim laid or something like that. Or trying to get Jim's occasional girlfriend to come over.
Gotcha.
But all yeah, right. The U.S. Acres, we'll have to watch another one that has U.S. Acres because that was my favorite part too. I remember that it's just this like thing that's been burned into my mind that there's a part where Orson was putting away books on a bookshelf because mm-hmm. It was like a spring cleaning episode. And he said, deja vu, the sensation you're feeling or the sensation that you're doing something that you've done before, because he's reading the names of the books.
Uh-huh.
And then he does it three times where he's like, deja vu, the sensation you're doing something.
And that's how you learned what deja vu was
yeah.
as a kid.
I feel like anything in cartoons that had that level of repetition is just like burned into my mind forever. And that's just what I know.
Well, it's kind of like the whole point of Teletubbies where they do the same, like they do like a 5-minute thing and then they do it like three or four times and you're like, oh my
right.
God, they're just repeating the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess that makes it sticky for young viewers, but it also makes it goddamn like mind numbing for adults.
Oh yeah.
Just like, shut up, shut up, shut up.
Well, and that show is not educational. So there's no, they're just one you get stuck on.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's again, going back to the core premise of this podcast is like, I feel like if they weren't educational, they were at least entertaining for all audiences.
Yes.
Though I guess that wasn't super true in the 80s. That was definitely more of a 90s thing. Like,
yeah.
Like
90s pushed like PC cartoons, educational cartoons.
PC cartoons.
Yeah, like we're going to have a kid. You know, we talked about this before, like the Burger King bunch.
Oh,
like
yeah.
We have a kid in a wheelchair, and we have a kid.
Yeah, that was like
from
an early
every race
90s
we
thing.
Can think of.
I mean, that was a bit of a holdover from the 80s, where you had the G.I. Joes of the world, where they had the PSAs that were built into the end of them.
Yes, that
like,
kind of stuff.
Yeah,
too.
Like SWAT cats, where it was like we had our crazy action.
Now
but
you
also,
know.
Let's learn about saying no to drugs.
Yeah, so a lot of that in the 90s and 80s. You're right.
Well, that was mostly 80s and early 90s, and but the era that I'm trying to like relive with this podcast is probably about 94 to about probably 99.
I feel like that was more of the like
that was Nicktoons,
really
cartoon
creative,
cartoons, yeah,
like
Animaniacs,
like bizarre stuff more than anything. Like we're gonna create a world that can't really exist.
Yeah. Well, it was...
Whereas I feel like the late 80s, early 90s, it was like, we're going to represent you and be educational and teach you a message.
Well, a big piece of those was that they were just trying to sell toys. Like, they all had some kind of toy tie-in, and then that kind of flooded the market. And by about 90, 91, people started to see through that and became kind of jaded against it. So shows like Street Sharks and SWAT Cats, The Radical Squadron, and Strawberry Shortcake and mm-hmm. Care Bears and all this stuff, just people were just like, then the 90s grunginess of it became like, oh, we don't want to put our kids in front of something that's just going to sell them toys. And then there was just like the steep drop off of about like 92 to 94, and that's when they came back and said like, we don't have any cartoons for these kids to watch, we really want to make something of merit that isn't just something to sell cereal. And that's when you had Spielberg coming in making both Tiny Toons and Animaniacs. You had Disney making the big push with that was with Tailspin and Darkwing Duck and DuckTales and Gummy Bears.
But I also think about the other kinds of shows that were happening prior to what you're talking about, prior to that 1994. Everything was like a very wholesome push at that time. Like, you know, even like the family shows that weren't animated, it was like there was lots of special episodes and like...
I mean, that was more of a sitcom thing.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying even the shows that weren't cartoons, like it's just like TV was very much... like, we want to be good and be, like, more than, like, quality.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of an outgrowth of that Nancy Reagan super PC era, like
right.
you said, where everything is about, like, I mean, that was, you know, if it was anything too obscene or anything too edgy, it would get... protested or something
right.
by the
Whereas
National Mothers Council.
Exactly, exactly.
That was
and
what
then,
led to TV ratings becoming a thing.
Right, exactly. And then we got the pushback of like, no, we actually want to have jokes in here that adults will get and the kids won't, and it will be funny and enjoyable for the adults as well. Whereas at that time, like, there weren't really adult
Simpsons, and pretty much that's it.
Right, it was like a weird time, because like, there was earlier cartoons that were dark and like had dark themes, but yeah, there was just this little group of time where it was like PC.
I mean, that was the big thing in the late 80s to 90s. You had a lot of violence, but it was weird violence. So everything was anthropomorphic animals hurting each other, or uh-huh. G.I. Joes where it was lasers.
And it all ended in a wholesome message, though.
Right.
Even if there was violence, like it's...
Well, and the message was always completely decoupled from whatever was happening.
Yeah.
Because it was just, yeah.
But it was what, like, made it okay, I feel like.
Right. It was, yeah, it was, like, tacked on as an excuse.
It was like, so all the moms can be like, at least my kid is learning not to steal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
and
something weird.
There's a weird thing with that kind of transitional era too, because you also had some really weird cartoons that were not subversive, but they came from people who were very subversive, like Tommy's, or what is it, Bobby's World, who was Howie Mandel. And Howie Mandel was not a super clean comic.
No.
But it was like the squeakiest, clean, wholesome family thing. And, what's his name? The Louis Anderson.
Uh-huh.
Louis Anderson was pretty much a clean stand-up, but he did very adult focused material. Like, he wasn't making kids.
Sure.
But now I can't think of his show, but his show about his own childhood. Like, mm-hmm. that was another one that was just like weirdly saccharine and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Muppet Babies, too.
Oh, I love Muppet Babies.
Yeah, I saw a really good Halloween costume that was a little kid dressed as animal, or baby animal,
uh-huh.
and then the mother that was walking them around was wearing nanny's
oh, nice,
leggings and
nice,
skirt.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, I think there's quality shows in all these eras. It's just interesting to see how these themes kind of change with time and what's happening in the culture.
Yeah.
Because I feel like now more than ever, we have, like, every cartoon is, like, also for adults, even to the point of, like,
what?
People know.
Now?
Nowadays.
Oh, I disagree. Oh,
let me rephrase. Let me rephrase.
Away.
There is so many more cartoons that are aimed at adult, like, and even the kids' cartoons are often, you can tell that they're thinking of adults watching them too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the animation as a whole has gotten just so much cheaper, so the barrier to entry is so much lower. Plus, you have this era where, I mean, we're in peak television right now, so everyone is constantly shopping for new series of any kind.
Right, and there's so many different avenues with, like, Netflix original series is or Hulu series, Amazon. And then all of the normal networks and
well, plus all the stuff that's going to like VRV and Crunchyroll, like straight to web stuff.
Yeah,
have you seen Bravest Warriors?
No,
that's I think it was an outgrowth of some of the people that worked on Adventure Time.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, that's a real interesting one. It's pretty bizarre.
Yeah,
but it looks a lot like Adventure Time.
I feel like nowadays there's a real gray area on what is a kid cartoon and what is an adult cartoon. Because you get a show like Adventure Time or Gravity Falls or things like that that are technically marketed as kid shows but end up getting a larger adult following.
Well, and that's the problem. That's why a lot of those shows struggle. Like we talked about a little while ago, the Steven Universe and Adventure Time, how Cartoon Network is kind of mishandling the marketing of them, is they don't know what the demographic is. Because it's a show that ostensibly was probably sold in a boardroom at some point as being for 13-year-olds, but then was a favorite cartoon of 30-year-olds because it was made by 30-year-olds.
Exactly.
And really, they made it so that they would themselves enjoy it. But, like, a lot of the same talent that worked on, at least from, like, a creative standpoint, like, the Gravity Falls guys and the regular show guys and the Adventure Time guys are all friends with the Rick and Morty guys.
Exactly.
And they have a very similar
style
and like, comedic sensibility, but the Rick and Morty guys are getting to tell the complete jokes. Like Gravity Falls, a show that's ostensibly about two 12-year-olds who want to solve mysteries in a cute little town. They had Louis C.K. do a guest voice and like all these like 80s references. So it's like, who's this for? Because this isn't for 12-year-olds because they're not getting these references to Street Fighter II, a game from like 1994.
Right. Well, is it because the market is more there to sell your show for kids, but then what ends, as far as like those people in the boardroom who are buying them and getting them on TV, even though the writers are really intending them to be for adults, do you think?
I mean, I think they're giving these writers freedom to create the cartoons that they want to make, and the writers are making the cartoons they want to make, and then the networks can't sell them.
Mm. But I mean, they're big shows. They make a lot of money.
Do they?
Well, let me rephrase. They get a lot of views. They get a lot of fandom. They get they're
big cult hits, but whether or not that's actually marketable. Like,
true.
So, like, a big something very indicative of this kind of schism between what they're trying to make and who's making them is I bought a DVD season of, I think, season 4 of Adventure Time. Because I was like, I've heard Pendleton Ward. You know, the creator of... Oh, so the creator of Adventure Time is Pendleton Ward. He also does the voice of Lumpy Space Princess.
Okay.
Oh, my glob. I've heard him on, like, Justin Roiland, the guy that does Rick and Morty, his podcast, Grandma's Virginity. And he's, you know, he's got a dirty sense of humor, and he'll tell adult jokes, and he's very funny. So I was like, I can't wait to hear him, like, really unleash on the director's commentary. Mm. But I was like, oh, but this is also a Cartoon Network product. So when I started listening to it, every time that they would talk about something that needed to be edited out, he would cut that audio out and replace it with him singing a little song on the ukulele. So about half of the director's commentary was just Pendleton Ward singing a little song on the ukulele because they were talking about something too adult or too like serious or swearing, and they just couldn't leave it into the commentary for this thing that was directly marketed to children.
Right. Well, and you think about that too. Like, who listens to director's cuts? Adults. Like, who wants to, I mean, not director's cuts, but the
commentary. Yeah.
Kids don't think, oh, I want to buy this DVD and listen to the commentary.
Well, yeah. Plus, I mean,
like, who's buying that?
The most recent seasons of Adventure Time have Jake as a father, and Jake is now a grandfather because one of his kids has their own
kids. Spoilers.
Well, Jake has kids.
I know he has kids.
Well, one of his kids has a kid. Spoiler. Sorry. It has nothing to do with the plot of the episode. It's the premise of the episode. But it's like, that's not relatable for kids. That's barely relatable for people in their 30s, the same age as the creators.
Right.
It's so, I don't know.
Anyway.
Cartoons are complicated and many-layered and fascinating.
They are. And we are going to go watch Garfield and Friends have Thanksgiving over a bowl of Fruit Loops.
Yep.
I'm excited.
Probably mostly Garfield, though.
I'm hoping Friends show up. I mean, who's invited to this Thanksgiving if it's not his friends?
Odie and Nermal, I'm sure, will be there.
They better be there. It's Thanksgiving. Who's he inviting? Just him and Jim and Odie? Otis?
Odie. Otis.
Odie?
Milo and Otis is what we're about to go watch.
Kind of.
Just that there's a cat and a dog.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will be back. Do the mashed potato. Do the candied yam. Do the funky turkey, cause it's time to jam. If you don't want to dance, baby, that's all right. Do some nonstop shopping to work up an appetite. Make your Thanksgiving one long meal. Cause the more you eat, the more grateful you are gonna feel. And we are back from a Garfield Thanksgiving.
Which had no friends in it.
Well, it had Odie and...
No, I mean...
Odie, just really just Odie. Yeah, it didn't have U.S. Acres. I was looking up some information about this, and it's not actually an episode of Garfield and Friends. It was a Thanksgiving special that they aired on CBS, so it's like outside
It's like just Garfield, then.
Yeah. It's just Garfield and Garfield. Or it's just a Garfield Thanksgiving. So it's kind of a one-off. But it was still the length of an episode.
And it was, like, the same voice actors. Yeah. And like, yeah. It's
Lorenzo Music.
Part of the world. So I'll give you a pass. Yeah. But I'm disappointed there were no friends.
Sorry.
I wanted to see Sheldon.
Well, since this technically wasn't an episode of Garfield and Friends, we can still do an episode of Garfield and Friends sometime soon.
Okay.
But yeah, that was Lorenzo Music as Garfield. I don't really know the names of the other cast.
So it was basically Thanksgiving episode. We start off on a Wednesday and Garfield knows he has to go to the vet and the next day is going to be Thanksgiving. We have John trying to win over the vet and like, she obviously like hates him, but is won over by a nice Thanksgiving dinner.
Which he didn't even make.
I know, but she doesn't know that. He's a liar too.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is Garfield... Who can understand Garfield? Because, Odie. Like, Odie doesn't talk back.
Yeah, that was something I wrote down, too. Is Garfield psychic? And that's always
telepathic.
Something... Yeah. Because he can understand John, but John acts like he can understand him if he's emoting, but he can't directly converse with Garfield.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to understand everything he says, but he seems to get the gist of what he's saying a lot of the time. But also that, like, computer animated voice understood him and talked back to him.
Yeah, and that's it's some. Sometimes it seems like Jim is the only one who can't directly communicate with him. Liz couldn't either. Like normal humans can't. But I remember they had like the buddy bears in Garfield and Friends, and they could talk to him. And I think Binky the Clown could, but I'm not 100% sure.
So it seems very unclear what is happening there. Like,
well, it seems like normal human beings can't converse with him, but animals and miscreant human beings can or something.
But like the other animals in the Garfield world don't talk. The like Otis doesn't talk.
Odie doesn't talk.
I don't know why I keep calling him Otis.
Because Milo and Otis. Nermal talks, and the buddy bears talk, the buddy bear bears.
Okay, do they talk with their mouths, or do they think talk like Garfield does?
I think Nermal doesn't move her mouth, the buddy bears actually talked. But I think the buddy bears might be an outgrowth of U.S. Acres, because they're more of that animation style, and they're not in the comic strips.
But okay, yeah, well, we will conclude that it is inconclusive.
I mean, that's been a long-standing thing as to whether or not Garfield can communicate telepathically. But I think the premise, especially in this one, because there's that part in the vet's office where he's talking, and they're talking to each other. Well, Jim is holding his breath to try and get laid, since that's such a smooth move. And Liz the vet...
And it works.
Well, kind of.
It got him the date.
Yeah. So let's back up a second. So
yeah, give me the breakdown of the episode that I just watched.
So first off, I wanted to go into voice acting. Lorenzo Music is Garfield, and I don't know if you remember, they mentioned Lorenzo Music in an episode of Rick and Morty. In the first intergalactic cable, they have this exchange where Lorenzo Music plays Garfield, but in the Garfield movie, the guy from Groundhog Day.
Bill Murray?
Bill Murray. Bill Murray voices Garfield in the Garfield movie. Okay. But in the animated version of Ghostbusters, the character played by Bill Murray in the live-action one is voiced by Lorenzo Music.
Okay.
So they switch roles. And that's the only interesting thing about Lorenzo Music.
But he's the voice on the show.
Yeah, Lorenzo Music is the voice of Garfield, has been the voice of Garfield through all of the Garfield the Animated Series. He's not doing the current one.
Okay.
Tom...
Oh, wait, I just saw Pat Carroll.
Who's that?
It's a voice actor in the show I'm going to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Apparently she was also in Little Mermaid.
Uh-huh, she's Ursula.
Oh, the sea witch.
Yeah, I did my research on my stuff.
So Tom Huge is the voice of John Arbuckle. And according to IMDb, that's the only thing he's done. It's just a bunch of Garfield, so I guess he's just...
That's his niche.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, really, there were only 5 characters in this whole episode.
Yeah, who makes the Odie sounds?
Greg Berger.
Does he do, like, a lot of animal sounds? Is that, like, his thing? He's in Aria Monsters? Who's he in Aria Monsters?
He was the Grumble.
Oh, okay.
In Aria Monsters. So I guess he's done more than that. He's... Oh, and he's from St. Louis, too.
Cool. We should become friends with him, because Aria Monsters is one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, we should.
I feel like I say that all the time. All right,
Greg Berger, we're coming for you. You're going to be on the show.
Yes.
That's all right.
That sounded very threatening.
We're coming to speak with you and interview you about all of your work that we love.
Jeremy and I both have ties in St. Louis. That's why that is of note to us.
He might
it has some pretty good voice actors, then. Even if it's just for that one role, but...
I mean, he's probably the most prominent voice actor, and he just barked twice. So,
But Pat Carroll has done a lot of stuff, too.
Oh, was she?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not super familiar with her.
I mean, Ursula is a huge role. And then
Ursula's...
She's in a lot of stuff, which we can talk about when we do mine, too. But she plays a lot of, like, old lady voices in a lot of things.
Okay.
But, yeah, she definitely has been working as a voice actor for a long time.
She's been an old lady voice since the
80s. Since the 80s.
Overall premise of Garfield. Garfield as a whole, it's a guy who is a cat. That's the premise of Garfield. John Arbuckle
is a loser.
And
the cat is grumpy.
And the cat is very sarcastic.
Yeah.
And hungry and hates Mondays. If you don't know that, then you should probably don't know how to access a podcast.
Judgy.
Well, it's... Or you're not American, I guess. Garfield is very...
Yeah.
He's permeated the culture pretty severely.
Maybe where you're under 20.
True. But I mean, there's also a new Garfield cartoon that was on Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network, one of the two. So he's been revived. Plus there's the cartoon Garfield animated movie.
Yeah.
Or a CG movie. And there were 2 of them.
Okay. Or you don't like cartoons. And then if that's the case, why are you listening to this podcast?
Right. I stand by the fact that if you're listening to this, you likely know who Garfield is.
Yes.
But nevertheless, Garfield is a cat who is fat. And that's the long and short of who Garfield is as a character.
Old fat cat.
Yeah. So John has plans to take Garfield to the vet. I believe it's probably a scheduled checkup, but it also seems like it might be an ulterior motive that John is trying to sleep with the veterinarian.
Yes, which I decided I should start wearing just a top lip of lipstick like her, because, I mean, apparently that's a style.
I mean, it works for John.
Yeah.
John tries to kill himself to get her attention, because he holds his breath until she'll agree to go out with him. And she agrees to go out with him, and their date of choice for their first date and their casual date that she doesn't even want to go on is Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, on actual Thanksgiving. Like, neither of them are spending time with their families.
Yeah, when his grandma apparently lives like a block away.
And can come save the day secretively.
With spoilers.
Okay, keep sharing.
Okay, so I wanted to mention that John is a terrible pet owner, because both of his dog and his cat are constantly on his kitchen counter. And it's like, that's a pretty normal cat move, but your dog should not on a kitchen counter.
No.
Like, that's terrible.
Plus, how? Dogs don't jump like cats do.
Don't leap like 4 feet vertically. I don't know. Odie's a magical creature.
Yeah, we never get to... I've always had this assumption that Odie is like an idiot just because he doesn't...
Oh, Odie's a moron, yeah.
Talk.
I mean, so you think he's like mentally impaired for an animal?
Yeah, like he's a mute animal.
I mean, he barks.
Right, but he doesn't have any thoughts that we hear or...
That's true.
Like, he doesn't have a consciousness.
So in D&D terms, he would have a 2 intelligence.
Yeah, he's incapable of language. Doesn't seem to understand language, or he doesn't have the capacity.
Well, no, he understands. He communicates with Garfield pretty significantly.
Then he doesn't have the ability to produce language.
Yeah, he's just mute.
Yeah. But so that barks. Doesn't necessarily have to do with his intelligence.
That's true. I mean, Odie has some wisdom. He joined Garfield in his demand for breakfast and was clapping cymbals together.
Yes. Like, so maybe it's speaking to the fact that, like, cats are actually a lot smarter than dogs. Like,
I don't agree with that premise, but sure.
Making plans and, like, doing stuff, and the dog's just kind of along for the ride.
I think it's more that cats are conniving and evil, and dogs are just...
Are we having a fight over cats or just dogs?
Yeah.
Because I have both.
Well, you have more cats than dog.
No, I have one cat and one dog.
Oh, well, okay. You used to have more.
I mean, I didn't, but more, yes. More dogs and cats.
You used to
cats.
Live with more cats than the dog that you had.
Yeah, but right. I also had another dog live with me.
Well, that was...
Who was a Dumbo
okay, yeah.
of a dog.
I love that dog. How dare you?
Still, just saying, she was a Dumbo.
Lily's not acing any
Lily
SATs.
Is very smart.
Okay.
Not as smart as my cat.
All right.
Learn how to, okay.
Your cat's so smart, she constantly dunks her head in every drink I've ever set down in front of me.
All right, which cat? That's not my cat.
Which one's your cat?
The all black one, Chanticleer.
Chanticleer is the one that does that.
Dunks her head in your cups?
When we had cereal the last time we recorded, she...
Oh, she wanted to drink your milk?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds milk. Smart.
It was soy milk.
That's okay. She doesn't know.
All right, whatever.
All right.
So the intro music for Garfield Thanksgiving was done by Lou Rawls, which I thought was interesting. That song was terrible, though.
Oh, yeah. The music in this was didn't fit the show.
Right, yeah. Because there were two songs. There was the Lou Rawls intro, where it was basically just like, have yourself some mashed potatoes and enjoy your thankful meal.
Yeah, you could tell that this wasn't part of the normal TV show. Like, they obviously...
I think
had
this
these
might
songs
have been
special
before,
written.
I think this was either just as the show was taking off or like...
Just before.
Yeah. Because it did... I mean, the animation was exactly the same style and the voice acting was the same style, but there was like the frames per second, like the quality of animation was a little bit better.
Yeah.
And the music was better and like the backing music was pretty good too.
Yeah, but it seemed to not totally fit. It's like we're trying to do a Thanksgiving special versus like we're trying to be authentic to Garfield. Yeah.
It definitely felt stretched because Garfield and Friends worked so well with three short segments.
Right.
This just felt like, what is the point of all this? Why are we seeing Garfield have, like, a diet when that right. kind of wasn't a significant... Like, that was the B story. It was supposed to be that Liz, the vet, put Garfield on a diet because he's fat. But that kind of... He ate a leaf and was frustrated slightly, but then she just said, ah, you're not on a diet anymore. And then
yeah,
he ate an enormous...
Exercise.
Yeah, Thanksgiving dinner. So it's like none of that mattered.
I do appreciate, though, because we've had a few, like, kid cartoons that try to do a 30-minute of just one story, and it really drags on. I don't feel like this dragged on as much. Like, I felt no. like there was enough different things happening that, like, it kept me engaged.
Yeah, I didn't feel bored with it, but I also didn't feel like there was a point to it. Like, the writing definitely wasn't that impressive.
Right. It definitely felt like a special, like, we're trying to be all cute.
Yeah.
Versus, quality.
I don't feel like we learned a Thanksgiving lesson, particularly. It kind of just...
I feel like the lesson was at the end when they're all holding hands and Garfield looks at him like, I don't want my hand held. And he's like, all right, I'll have my hand held. That was the lesson, like...
That was the spirit of Thanksgiving?
Yeah. That's what I got from it.
So to go back to the plot progression. So he invites over Liz, who doesn't like him.
Dr. Liz to you.
Yeah, in a very problematic way. I felt kind of uncomfortable that he was putting so much pressure on her to go out with him.
Yeah.
And he held his breath until she agreed to go out with him and came over to his house, which again is a little bit of a red flag, and came over to right. his house on Thanksgiving dinner where that was...
And he just bumbled trying to make Thanksgiving dinner himself. And was failing miserably.
Yeah. And she seemed like she had been, you know, sexually harassed by John before.
Yeah.
So this all feels like she's succumbing to pressures that, I don't know.
Right. So Garfield convinces Jim to call his grandma to come save the day and cook the dinner.
Right. Because he doesn't unfreeze his chicken. He doesn't pull out the giblets.
And by chicken, he means turkey.
Turkey. Sorry. Thanksgiving, right? and he just throws a bunch of vegetables into a bowl and pours water over them and thinks they're done. So he does absolutely no work. Yeah.
He's very confident about all of this, too.
Yeah, John's a real asshole. I, that's kind of my takeaway.
You picked the asshole this week.
Yeah. I don't like that sentence.
Well, you keep pointing out the assholes that I'm...
Yeah, Helga, mainly.
Yeah.
And Miss Frizzle.
Yeah,
John's a real Miss Frizzle.
And so, Grandma does come and save the day while John bores his date. And she's still not very interested. And then Garfield comes and gets him to let him know the dinner is served. And, of course, it's this beautiful, well-prepared dinner that Grandma made.
Turkey croquettes that she deep-fried in 2 seconds with a chainsaw somehow.
Yes. And then Liz sees this spread and somehow falls in love with Jim, thinking that he did it. So it's all a lie, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we see Jim give his cat coffee and, like, a very unhealthy breakfast with pancakes, which mm-hmm. you shouldn't give a cat or a dog. We see him let his dog be up on the counter, which that's unsafe for a dog. Then he takes his cat to the vet and forgets the cat because he's more focused on getting a date. Then we see him half-ass a meal, and instead of actually finishing the meal, he calls his grandmother to come do the meal for him.
And hide. And
he doesn't even greet his grandmother or thank her or invite her to eat with them.
Like, and then I thought he bores his date.
Right. He gives her the history of Thanksgiving until she falls asleep. And then he wakes her up with this amazing meal he didn't make. And then he takes credit for it.
And then she's like holding his hand and kisses him goodbye.
Yeah, like, John just is awful and takes credit for something that, it's like, that's what I was hoping was going to be the big turn plot-wise of this episode, was like, his Thanksgiving was going to fall apart, but then he would invite his grandma to come over and be like, well,
Grandma saves the day.
Yeah, what I'm really thankful for is you, Grandma, I love you. But no, Grandma rides away on her motorbike and says, you know, eat some pie for me, Garfield, and she's gone. She doesn't come back. And it's like, aw.
Yeah, so Grandma gets no Thanksgiving dinner, we have to assume.
Grandma goes back to the home.
She spent her whole day over there.
Yeah. I don't like the plot of this one.
No.
It feels like John gets away with just endless shit. Garfield doesn't go on a diet or do any exercise, so Garfield's gonna die. I mean, that's...
I think that might be his plan.
You think Garfield's suicidal?
I think he just wants to live his best life.
So we see John try to kill himself by holding his breath. We know that Garfield wants to eat himself to death.
Well, we know Garfield's not a happy cat.
No, but I think that's the, you know, what cat is. Cats are grumpy.
I mean, cats have all sorts of personalities.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to hear about the episode, the cartoon I brought for you?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll leave it.
But go ahead and tell me.
So, we had to watch Garfield and Friends on YouTube, because it's an old show. Mine also you'll have to find on YouTube or something like that. Or you can always buy episodes on, like, Amazon Prime or something.
Yeah, let's not give away the secret that we're watching these illegally and just tell everyone that we've purchased them in some way.
Okay. So, you can find these on, like, Amazon to buy. They're not on any free streaming, like Netflix or Hulu. Mm-hmm. Those aren't free. I don't know why I said it that way, but you know what I mean. Okay, so the show I brought for you was my absolute favorite show as a very small child. Meaning, this was the only show my mom could get me to watch, so she would record it on
VHS.
Could get
you to watch?
Yeah.
You were resistant to watching cartoons?
I didn't sit still very well as a small child. Like, I wanted to be on the move. This is the only show that I'd actually sit for the full 30 minutes. And so she could, like, do something.
The only thing that would hyper-stimulate you enough to keep you static.
Yeah. So this was my favorite show as a kid. So we have lots of VHSs from my childhood of recordings of these, so she could put them on whenever.
whenever she was sick of dealing with it.
She was tired of me. And it's Pound Puppies, the original.
Okay.
From, like, OG 1986. Yeah. So they've come out with a more recent Pound Puppies, and I tried to watch it, not as good. So it's like a whole different thing.
I wonder if this is the Pound Puppies that I'm familiar with, because I remember, I don't know, I'll have to see. Because I definitely watched Pound Puppies, but I thought it was deeper into the 90s, that it was in that same era of Darkwing Duck and stuff.
Yeah, so this show's Hanna-Barbera, mm-hmm. and it's 1986 to 1988.
Okay.
So it's only two seasons. Good quality show. They're 30-minute episodes, and it's, like, one episode for the 30 minutes. It's not broken up. So it's, like, good in-depth, like, A, B. That's what I remember of it, at least.
In-depth puppy action.
Yeah. So you don't have any recollection of Pound Puppies, really?
Vaguely. I know I watched Pound Puppies. I don't know if there were multiple iterations of Pound Puppies, and...
Yeah, there is another version of Pound Puppies, so I don't know. what you saw. But this was the original. And they, all the puppies walk upright. They've got clothing on.
Is there a fire pole in the intro sequence?
Yes.
Yeah. For some reason, I associate, like, that's the...
Yes. So the puppies have... So basically, the plot of Pound Puppies is there's, like, an evil stepmother, and then there's... Or aunt or something like that, and then her daughter, and then there's the, like, good girl who that's, like, her stepmother or her aunt or something. They live together.
Okay.
And the good girl takes care of these dogs that's like a pound, right? Pound puppies.
So she's fostering them, or does she just...
So, like, they're up for adoption.
Oh, okay.
So the evil stepmother, aunt, or whatever, is, like, trying to make money off of them, and then the girl's actually the one who cares about them and is, like, taking care of them, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But, and the girl also, like, talks to them and, like, knows that they are smart, but then, like... The other people in the world kind of just see them as dogs for the most part.
So she's schizophrenic?
Maybe. I'm trying to remember how many people can see them as, like, people and how many see them as, like, dogs.
But, I mean, they go on, like, adventures, right?
Yeah. So what happens is, so most of it is focused on the dogs. They have this underground whole thing that you're thinking of with the
pole. Oh, yeah. And the doghouse goes down to their lair.
Yes. And so they, like, solve crimes, or they, like, help save. Like, so a lot of times it's about saving, like, a stray dog and that they're going to bring into the pound, or getting a dog adopted, or fighting the evil Katrina or the mom, or there's this, like, big robot scary guy that does her bidding. He's not really a robot, but that's what he always looked like to me. He has, like, okay, a turtleneck up to his eyes, and he's giant. So anyway, it's a great show. I picked the most memorable episode for me, which is Secret Agent Pup.
Okay.
So it's like Secret Agent Man.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the premise.
I get it.
The big voice actors, we have Nancy Cartwright as Bright Eyes, which is what made me think of that trivia question. And then Pat Carroll plays Katrina. She's also the voice of Ursula, like we talked about earlier.
Big Pat Carroll night.
Yeah. And so there were some other people that have done a lot of work, but it's not like they, no one else I saw had a big character that, like, I recognize. So, like, a lot of the actors who do these do other voice acting work, but not necessarily, like, a really big, memorable character, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's interesting to me that it's Hanna-Barbera. For some reason, I associated this with Disney. I always thought
I should have put this in my Hanna-Barbera question, then. Maybe I would have tricked you instead of DuckTales.
You would have gotten me.
Anyway. I was just thinking that wouldn't have worked because this was a Hanna-Barbera.
So many pauses, I'm going to have to edit out.
Okay, so you ready to watch some Pound Puppies?
Sure, I'm excited. Pound Puppies, I love my dogs, even though you like cats.
I love my dog and my cat. I love them both.
But you respect your cat more.
No. I think, in general, the general cat is smarter than the general dog. But I think dogs are more capable of showing their intelligence than cats.
I agree.
Okay.
This is weirdly themed cats and dogs.
Yeah. Because I think about the cats that used to live with me. My cat is very smart. Ophelia, the Garfield-looking cat, fairly smart. Cleo, dumb as a rock.
That's the one that you smack, that likes to be smacked?
Yeah. That sounds really bad. She likes to be spanked.
Yeah. There's your spanking cat and your hiding cat and your orange cat that just, like, hung out.
Yeah. And then you have, like, Penny, the dog that used to live with me, and my dog. My dog, smart. Penny, not smart.
I don't see Lily's intelligence very often.
Well, I'll have to show you.
Okay. Yeah, get
she knows that. A lot of words. She has a large vocabulary.
Yeah. I definitely see intelligence behind her eyes, but she always seems very terrified.
Oh, yeah. So she has terrified. Anxiety. She has really bad anxiety. So you probably won't see as much of it as...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. But as the person who sees her when she's not stressed out,
yeah,
she's very capable.
And I have no pets, sadly.
Yes. Very sad. You want a dog.
I do want a dog. I don't want to pick up a dog's poop, though.
Well,
it's gross.
Guess you don't get to have a dog.
Nope. You get a robot dog.
All right. Well, I'll let you live vicariously through watching Pound Puppies.
Okay. We'll be right back.
It's the Pound Puppies. Here's Cooler, Whopper, Nose Marie, Bright Eyes, and Owler.
Hello,
And we're back from watching Pound Puppies. Secret Agent Pup.
Secret Agent Pup. Oh my god, the voices and the audio in that episode were so grating. Everyone was screaming at the most high-pitched...
Well, also, it's hard to get good quality audio from 80s shows. They're not going to be great.
You think that was... I think it might have been like that originally. I mean...
I'm not saying that it doesn't contribute. I'm just saying, like, it's like when you watch a VHS when you're used to, like, cleaner visuals and audio.
Yeah.
It just doesn't retain the quality that it originally was. But yes, they are very extreme voices and...
So much screaming.
This episode especially, because we've got Pup Nick, who has an accent.
And is super high-pitched.
Yeah. But he has a very exaggerated voice with his pitch of his voice.
So before we go fully into the cartoon,
yeah,
I wanna do a little quiz.
Yeah.
So this episode features what I don't know if they ever directly said it, but I'm calling Mount Pupmore.
Yeah.
So it was a Mount Rushmore style mountain range with four famous Hanna-Barbera dogs carved into the face of it. And you said you knew one of those dogs.
Well, I knew Scooby-Doo for sure, who's the third from the left. And I recognized the one just to his left, but I don't remember his name.
Okay. So what clues do you want to try and guess it?
I want you to give me all three dog names, and I try to say which one is which.
Okay.
So give me one at a time, and I'll try to say which one it is.
Augie Doggie.
Okay, I'm going to go with the fourth one, one furthest on the right.
Far right. Augie Doggie and Doggie Daddy. Then you have Scooby-Doo, which was next to him.
Uh-huh.
The other two were Muttley and Huckleberry Hound.
Okay, Muttley is the first one, and Huckleberry Hound is the second one.
Yeah, it's too easy once you actually hear the names.
Well, I didn't recognize Muttley at all. I don't even know that name.
Dastardly and Muttley from Wacky Races.
None of that is familiar to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Muttley was the dog who's known for going...
Oh, okay. That idea is
He's always, like,
to me.
Causing... Like, Penelope Pitstop and the Wacky Races. You never saw any of those?
No, but I did see Wacky Races when I was looking at, I think, Pat Carroll's voice acting work, but I didn't know what it was. Oh, yeah. So that's only familiar to me from today, seeing those words written.
Yeah, you were saying that the other voice actors in this episode weren't... huge in stuff that you'd recognize, but I definitely recognized stuff that they did from a lot of 80s stuff.
Yeah, I definitely have a lot of blind spots. So if you're listening to this and you're like offended by me being like, I don't know what stuff they're in, like, I apologize. I know that I do not, that I have lots of blind spots.
So we have Nose Marie, who's played by Ruth Buzzy.
Yeah.
Who's very famous. She's Ruthie on Sesame Street.
Is she also
the one...
That
was a live-action role.
Is she also... Because I looked up a lot of these. Is she also the one who was on Punky Brewster?
Probably. I mean, most of her work is live-action. She didn't do as much animation stuff.
Yeah, and I definitely tried to point out their voice acting work. And so if I didn't recognize something voice acting-wise, I didn't mention them.
So, yeah. The voice of Whopper...
Uh-huh.
She was Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Okay.
In all of the post, like, 70s Scooby-Doo.
Well, that's a big role.
Yeah.
I must not have looked up hers.
I don't think he was in this one, but Frank Welker is a credit for this one. You know who Frank Welker is?
No, you know I'm bad with names, right?
Yeah. Frank Welker is Nibbler from Futurama.
Oh, right.
But he famously has done, like, every animal sound.
He's the guy in whose voice is that, or whatever that thing is called. He kind of has like a longer, thin face. Is that?
No, he's got kind of rounder.
Okay,
face.
That's not who I'm thinking of.
Okay,
I'm thinking of the guy who does like the alien noises.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, Alien the movie.
Okay.
There's some guy who does like all those crazy noises. So this guy also does like animal. You know, like not a voice, but
yeah.
like almost like sound effects more than anything.
So Cooler was Dan Gilvezan, who I've definitely heard of before. He's done Spider-Man in the old 80s Spider-Man cartoon. Like, he was huge throughout the 80s. He did Bumblebee on the Transformers, which is one of the primary Transformers. But yeah, he's kind of all over the place. He was definitely, he's like a go-to additional voices guy.
Yeah. I was trying to be big shit by being like, I did my research and looked at like four of them, I guess.
But yeah, and then you've got Pat Carroll, who, as you said, is Ursula. Mm-hmm. Granny in My Neighbor Totoro. Some anime work.
She's in Garfield, obviously, because we already talked about her there.
Yeah, I mean, that was a one-off. I don't think she ever came back as Garfield. Garfield's, or Jim's grandma. She was Cuckoo and Chippendale. Yeah, she wasn't anyone particularly.
But she's huge. Done a lot of voices.
Yeah, and she's reprised the role of Ursula many, many times.
Yes, that's obvious. I mean, that's a very distinct voice.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, okay. So.
What'd you think of Pound Puppies? Did you remember watching it? Really?
Yeah, definitely. As soon as I saw Cooler's jacket, I was like. Oh, yes. This is one I recall.
Yeah, and when we were pulling it up, we were also, you know, the other option to buy on Amazon is the newer Pound Puppies. And, right. Like, you can see how different the animation is. They're not the same characters, I assume.
Yeah, it's like cel-shaded or whatever you call that version of that art style where it's no outlines.
Yeah, so if you're trying to watch this episode, it's from the original series, 1986. This is episode 9 of season 1.
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube. There look like there are a couple different versions.
Yeah.
But yeah, so plot summary?
So, it, like we said earlier, Secret Agent Pup, which is basically like a James Bond kind of theme and style.
Eventually, that was kind of the third act. Right. The James Bond notes.
So basically, yeah, but there's like all these things about are you a spy, are you a Russian spy type of thing going on. So we get this.
It's very relevant politically these days.
We get this pup named Pupnik who comes over on a boat to America and is very excited to be in America.
Yeah, he's got a very Fievel Goes West vibe.
Yes, and there's two like actual spies or bad guys or what have you. Who are following him because he has...
Yeah, they're like KGB bulldogs.
Yeah. And they're huge.
Yeah.
They're like as big as the humans. Yeah. And they're after him because he has a gem that they need on his collar. And like he was kind of used to sneak it over, but he doesn't know.
Yeah, he's a bit of a mule in that sense.
And so, of course, the Pound Puppies have their kind of... This episode is like secret agent stuff, but they kind of always have that quality to them. They have this like underground, they are video camera, like they have a system of dogs that let them know if a dog's in trouble kind of aspect. So they find out that this dog's in trouble. They go to save him. They do save him, bring him back. He gets a little crush on Bright Eyes, gives her his collar, and then she gets kidnapped because they're just really after the collar, but they don't really know what's going on. So then everyone goes after to save her, and that's when we get in the James Bond version. Yeah.
So it starts out being this kind of like Soviet mobster thing where he's hunted from the old world and used as a mule by these like Russian mobsters, which they never really said. Like, it's not like it was illegal to transport a gemstone. I feel like they could have just brought it over.
Right.
But so that it starts out being that kind of plot, but as soon as they see who Bright Eyes is taken to, then it immediately becomes this James Bond thing because it's what is it, gold? It's not Goldfinger, but it's based on Goldfinger. It's like Pupfinger or Pup Gold,
right?
Yeah, it's everything reminded me so much of Big Dog Sportswear in that everything in the show is a lazy dog pun, where they're just throwing pup or woof or bark. Into normal words.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like Smurf and Smurfberries.
And on top of this, we have a B story happening of Katrina, the aunt / mom, kind of going crazy over having too many dogs around. And they're trying to give her a nice little vacation away from dogs. And yet the paths keep crossing and she keeps getting exposed to the dogs or seeing dogs.
So how much do you know about her... those characters, the humans?
you know them a lot. So this episode was very light on them.
Why does this angry socialite own and operate a dog pound that is named after her niece?
Yeah, so it's her niece is technically... I haven't watched this in a while to remember the whole background on that.
Because Holly's the name of the niece, right?
Yes.
And it's Holly's pound.
Yes, and she's the nice one.
Right. And she completely abandons those dogs.
Well, she knows that they're self-sufficient, basically.
They don't seem to have a food source.
They walk around and wear clothes. I think they probably have, like, a fridge, and they probably cook, like, pasta. Like,
you think they say in the PSA at the end of this episode that dogs aren't supposed to eat people food. It's so true. I hope they have kibble.
It's true. It's true.
They do have a car.
Right. Yeah. They're pretty self-sufficient.
Yeah.
But no, Katrina and her daughter both hate the puppies and the pound and are usually trying to, like, take it down, actually. So,
but they have, like, their mansion. They don't live at the pound. They...
Yeah, so I don't know if... This is what maybe happened, but you'll have to fact check. Holly's
parents are died. Killed by dogs.
No.
They're torn apart.
Holly's parents died, and her aunt inherited their home to be able to take care of Holly, but she can't... doesn't have... But Holly technically has rights over the home and the pound.
So it's like a series of unfortunate events. She's trying to kill Holly to get the full family fortune?
Yeah, I think it's something like
you
that.
You think she's trying to kill Holly?
Kind of.
But only the pound puppies keep her alive?
She's actually nice to not nice, but she's not, like, out to get Holly. She's just out to get the dogs. She also has an evil cat that's out to get them, too.
Of course.
That you don't always see.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, Inspector Gadget, where if you need an inexplicable familial connection, it's just an aunt. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, my crazy aunt that was just, we didn't know about until it was time to know about them.
Yeah, but Katrina, the aunt, is also always trying to, like, get money. So, like, she's trying, so I think that the money that is there is not really hers.
Yeah, but they definitely talk like they're very moneyed. Like,
yeah.
Like, her, the aunt's daughter is like, oh, mumsy. Very, very continental, like, over-inflected.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would have to look up the background story, but, yeah. Like, I know that, like, the aunt is trying to get rid of the puppy pound a lot, so obviously she doesn't have legal rights over it.
Yeah, and it can't be, like, I don't know, it's not like she needs to sell the pound to get money from that little shack with four dogs.
No, she just hates dogs.
She just hates dogs.
Yeah.
Then just stay at the mansion, leave the dogs alone.
Well, as you saw in this episode, she could hear them barking at the mansion.
Well, she... lost her mind. I mean, from the onset, she was, like, batshit insane.
Yeah. So that was, I brought that episode in just because it was that, like, secret agent pup theme was, like, really memorable to me,
yeah,
as from my childhood. But it's not necessarily the best episode to give you an idea into what all the characters are like, because it's definitely about a character that's not in the normal storyline with Pupnik.
Much like your episode of, what's it called? The Magic School Bus.
Yes.
Where we're entirely focused on a secondary character that's,
yeah,
slightly grating.
This was not the first episode of the show, though.
No. But yeah, it's, I mean, we get a good taste of all the characters. We get that Cooler, I mean, right off the bat, they have that little presentation where everybody kind of gives their two cents, where Cooler is cool and wears sunglasses, even though he has a real nerdy laugh. Like, it sounds,
yeah,
like it's modeled after the guy from Revenge of the Nerds. The main character's like,
right.
Then there's the guy who's obviously modeled after Harpo Marx, though he can talk, unlike Harpo Marx, which another character modeled after Harpo is Wacko Warner.
Mm.
But kind of that
yeah,
weird and just, you know, pulling things out of invisible pockets. And,
yeah, definitely.
But he's something of a gadgeteer, which is another cartoon trope. You always want to have one guy on your team that is good with gadgets. Cause that's
basically
a universal
Inspector
solution.
Gadget.
Yeah.
Including the, like, hand that comes out of the hat.
Yeah. Then we have Whopper, who would probably, aside from Cooler's voice, like, fired the most neurons for me. Because that was the three big things that I remembered the most were... Bright Eyes, that's the one that sounds like a Southern Belle.
Bright Eyes is Nancy Cartwright.
Yeah. So, or wait.
Nose Marie is who you're
Nose
thinking
Marie, of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nose Marie's voice, Cooler's voice, and then Whopper's speech mannerisms, where Whopper mm-hmm. would say
excited.
Something and then, like, double it and then quintuple it. Because he
yeah,
would...
he was making... Well, big lies. And usually, like, you get this great animation of, like, his inside his brain of, like, what he's imagining and how it gets bigger and bigger. So it's kind of cool that you actually get to a visual representation of his lies.
Well, yeah, and if that's what he's imagining, is he lying or is he remembering wrong?
Well, I think the idea is he's the only, like, puppy in the Pound Puppies.
Right, so he's just hyperactive.
So, yeah, he's just, like, really imaginative and, like, gets really excited. I don't think he's, like, meaning to lie.
I wonder if,
or deceive the others, I should say.
I wonder if there's an article somewhere assigning those same DSM.
I'm sure somewhere, right?
Because we have the... Cooler's the narcissist. He has mm-hmm. narcissistic personality disorder. We have pathological liar and Whopper.
Whopper. Yeah, I think Nose Marie might have borderline personality disorder.
Yeah.
And
Bright Eyes?
Bright Eyes is kind of depressive.
Is she?
Like
the band Bright Eyes?
Yeah, like she...
Is the band Bright Eyes named after the Pound Puppy?
Let's go ahead and just say that.
Let's assume that's true. That's another one of those things we're not going to fact check.
So yeah, and everything ends up okay. They save the day.
Yeah. It's a children's cartoon.
Pupnik.
Nobody dies.
Gets adopted and goes on his merry way. I think he actually comes up in another episode at some point.
Oh, I don't want to watch that one.
Just as like a hello, like, there's an emergency, come help kind of character. Yeah.
I love how everything, I don't know if it's like offensive or reductive of the culture or whatever, but the thing about ending every word with ski... Like, is that offensive, or is that just, like, I feel like if you end everything with ski to make fun of Polish or Russian or whatever it's supposed to be,
yeah,
isn't that the same as, like, Spanish ending everything in O?
Yeah, I think that what always happens is at different points in time, as a culture, we're like, it's okay to make fun of this ethnic or racial group, but not this one. And then we're like, actually, no, it's not. So, like, when you watch things back, you're like, oh, but at the time, people, it's not like half the people were offended. Like, that was just, like, normal at the time. And I think that's
we just laughed at that.
I think that's just how it goes. Like,
Speedy Gonzales.
Right. You look back at different cartoons and you're like, oh, that would not fly anymore. Yeah,
Pepe Le Pew's a racist. Speedy Gonzales is a Mexican caricature.
Exactly. I don't think that would fly nowadays, is what I'm saying. But at the time, they weren't, like, trying to...
Right, they weren't trying to make...
They weren't, like, trying to be edgy or something. Like, that was just okay at the time. That was Pound Puppies. That was one of my favorite shows as a kid. I think the nice thing and the hard thing about picking an episode is because the cast is really large, usually the episodes, you don't get a good feel of the whole world in one episode. Like, it usually focuses on a few characters more than others, but it really varies episode to episode.
Yeah, and I think moving forward with the podcast, that's something to think of when we're picking episodes, is we should get something that's a good representation of the show itself, but I don't want to always be doing the first episode of any given show.
Right. You don't want to just introduce the characters.
Because, I mean, we have that primer before we go watch it where we can say what the premise of the show is. But yeah, we should probably look for things that are a good representation of what the show has to offer.
I mean, I think this did. It just didn't give you a lot of background into the people.
Yeah.
Because some of the episodes are more the people heavy and some are more the dogs heavy. That's just how it goes.
Yeah. God, the screaming, though. So much screaming from both Pupnik and the aunt. I'm hoping that was a like audio transfer issue that just got that pitch turned up too high or something.
I mean, they are extreme voices. Grating.
Yeah. Oof. Oofa doofa. Give me a little bit of a headache.
All right. So we had Fruit Loops.
Yep.
How many spoons are you going to give Fruit Loops?
I really enjoyed it. I barely even processed what it tasted like, because as soon as I put a spoon in my mouth, I was like, oh, it's Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's hard to savor Fruit Loops, because it's just something, it tastes exactly like it did in like 1986, the first time I tasted it. And they've never changed the formula and they've never messed with it. I liked it. It's fruity. It's simple. It doesn't overstep its bounds as a cereal, I guess. I don't know.
You're going real in depth here.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it as well. I think one of the nice things about Fruit Loops is it doesn't get too soggy in the milk, which sometimes then the more, like, flavorful cereals, like, the flavor just, like, melts away really quickly into the milk.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. It held a nice crunch to it.
Very colorful. What did you think of the delivery method, the box bowl?
Oh, I thought that was a little cumbersome.
Yeah.
But it worked. I didn't spill anything, or it's totally fine. Now, I, you know, I'm a little disappointed in the small box because it's just a small serving. I wanted...
That is four children.
That's true. I wanted to have a bowl with both episodes, and, you know, that's definitely a one bowl, a one small bowl.
Yeah. So to go on the history of Fruit Loops a little bit, it was introduced in 1963. It's another Kellogg brand. Originally, there were only red, orange, and yellow Loops, but green, really? Purple, and blue were added during the 1990s. So all up until the 90s, they were only...
Does it say when in the 90s?
It just says the 1990s.
I'm going to assume early 90s then, because I only remember all the colors. Do you remember?
I mean, yeah. Less? I mean, the presentation of Fruit Loops that we saw now is pretty much all, but I mean, it must have been early 90s.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
In the UK, due to the lack of natural colorings for yellow, red, and blue, Fruit Loops are purple, green, and orange. So they only have those three colors still. In the UK, apparently.
Huh, interesting.
The mascot is Toucan Sam.
Course.
Follow my nose, it always knows, or follow my nose for the fruity taste that shows, are his famous catchphrases.
Oh, I only remember the first one.
Just the follow my nose, it always knows.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he's always smelling Fruit Loops, I guess, because he's always following his nose, which is an interesting thing for a bird. Birds are smelling things out.
Well, there's this assumption that a beak is a nose, even though that's a mouth.
I mean, toucans are supposed to have a good sense of smell, I guess.
Okay.
Interesting. I know that there were a few times where Toucan Sam, there was like a whole campaign where Toucan Sam had nephews that were very similar to...
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, like Scrooge McDuck.
And three of them, especially.
So, and yeah, it seemed odd that it was specifically a bird and specifically with three nephews mm-hmm. that were getting into shenanigans. It seemed like a lazy one.
But they didn't wear shirts.
Right. They were,
so that's where they, that's where they went to.
Let's see here. On the Big Bang Theory, Howard Wolowitz is called Fruit Loops by his fellow ISS astronauts. Interesting.
That means nothing to me. Okay.
You don't watch Big Bang Theory? No. Bazinga?
Nope.
You know, you're better off for it. Yeah, so I don't know. I would say like eight spoons.
I was going to say seven or eight. It's hard to pick because... Then I start comparing them to the other ones we've had instead of giving it its own rating. You know what I mean? So I was going to go eight, but then I was like, but it's not as good as like some, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first really fruity one we've done so far. Because we had blueberry and frankenberry, which were supposed to be berry, but they didn't taste like anything.
Right.
This one was definitely sweet, and you have kind of that aftertaste of like a fruity sensation, but you don't really, it's not like the blue ones taste like blueberries and the purple ones taste like snozzberries. They just taste like fruit flavor. Like
yeah, they're all the same flavor. Yeah.
Whereas...
As far as I can tell, at least.
Yeah, I kind of want to compare them to Fruity Pebbles, which we haven't done yet.
Which is one of my favorites. And my biggest issue with it is it gets really soggy. And this doesn't.
My favorite thing about the various Pebbles cereals, and there's also, like, it's pretty similar to the Rice Krispies and Cocoa Krispies and those, is that as it sits in the milk, you get that striation. So you have the ones that haven't gotten any milk, so you have, like, a crust on the top.
Yeah.
And then they get mushier and mushier.
It's like a pie.
So it's like depending on what crunch level you want, you can skim them off the top, or you can get a little bit of everything in one big scoop.
Well, what I would do is I would put the milk in the bowl first when I'd eat Fruity Pebbles, where normally I put the cereal in and then the milk. I put the milk in first, put a little bit of cereal, eat that, put a little bit more, eat that.
With Fruity Pebbles?
Yeah.
You're a crazy person.
Well, because I didn't want them to get soggy.
But then they would...
So I would just put, I would have a bowl of milk and my box of cereal next to it, and I sprinkle some on top, eat those while they're still crunchy, and then eat some more.
I guess. That's so many steps for cereal.
You know, I take it serious.
Did you ever cut bananas into your cereal?
I don't recall doing that.
I think that was like a Frosted Flake move for me, where I would just slice a banana into little ringlets. And
I ate a lot of Nutty Nuggets, which is the off-brand of grape nuts.
Mm.
But we always bought Nutty Nuggets, and that I put a bunch of honey in. And I think it's like advertised with fruit in it, but I don't think we ever did that.
You ever do Cracklin Oat Bran?
No, I don't think so.
I liked Cracklin. I don't know if that's technically a kid's cereal. Seems like bran. As soon as you get into bran, you're looking to keep adults regular.
So yeah, if I'm just judging it by itself without comparing it, I would go eight with you.
Yeah, and Toucan Sam was British too, which is weird. You think if he's a toucan, he's from like a tropical region.
Right.
Though I guess if he's from that era of like imperial United Kingdom where they like took over the, you know.
Right. It's
like he's from an island that was captured by UK something. Dark. I'll cut this out. Running out of juice. Okay.
All right. So 8 out of 10 spoons on the cereal.
Yep. Fruit Loops are pretty great. And they are exactly the same as they've always been, and they will likely never change. And when the Armageddon comes and we're all scouring the wasteland for cereal. Well,
that's what will be there.
There will be the same Fruit Loops.
And both these episodes were enjoyable, and...
Yeah, I thought it was funny that there was a PSA at the end of the Pound Puppies episode, and it was
and they always have that.
Yeah, don't let your pets eat people food. And the whole premise of that Garfield episode, well, the whole premise of Garfield in general is that he eats people food.
Yeah, that is... We seem to, like, find themes between our shows and how they...
Or the exact same show, which it should not have happened this soon into the podcast. In the series of human foods that they were flashing, in the Don't Let Your Pets Eat Human Foods, it was a giant roasted turkey. So it's technically Thanksgiving themed.
Hmm, yeah. And technically a food that dogs can eat, like just meat. Like, you'd think that'd be okay, but...
Well, not with bones. Dogs can't eat avian bones because avian bones splinter when cooked and kill them. Don't give Lily...
No, but you said a ham, right?
No, turkey. Roast turkey.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said ham.
No, Thanksgiving turkey. That's Christmas. Christmas ham.
All right. So...
Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at twitch.tv/djager, Y-E-A-G-E-R, 88. Find me streaming... you can also find me on YouTube. I have a few different channels, including gaming, vlogging, and life coaching. You can find my website, DanielleJaeger.com, and you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever, those kind of things under my name, too. It'll be linked.
Okay, and I am just on Twitter as ZenMunkin, and I am also hosting another podcast on the network called... Red Shirts and Runabouts. We are reviewing episodes of Discovery, though I think the next episode that will be coming out will be the last one of Discovery for a while because it is going on a winter hiatus. So we're going to have to figure out something else to talk about. Mm. That's all we've got this week. Thanks for watching with us.
And we'll see you next time.